This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll discuss what net neutrality means for the cable and media industry with Western Michigan University professor Rick Gershon. But first, the Kalamazoo Community Foundation is implementing a new strategic plan to develop its work in the community over the next few years. We're going to discuss what that focus is and what that could mean for the Kalamazoo area. Carrie Pickett-Irway is the president of the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And Supratik Stotz-Ghosh is the vice president for community investment with the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take people inside here for just a little bit before we talk about what you're actually looking to do. How does a community foundation actually work? How do you determine what areas you're going to focus on?
Well, speaking about the strategic planning process and determining our priorities, that's actually a very comprehensive process for Kalamazoo. The way that we do it is a way that really includes the voice of the community and does significant environmental scanning. So we start our strategic planning process with a scan of the environment, our local environment, any issues that are specific to our field, community philanthropy, and also the national environment, looking at best practices. We take that information in the form of research and data, and then we turn to our community. And this year in particular, we leaned heavily on focus group information. So we engaged almost 60 people from our community to give us feedback about the data we'd collected through the environmental scanning process. With that information, the staff then does an analysis and a synthesis to help us figure out what are the most pressing issues, where do we think we have a specific opportunity to leverage our resources to make meaningful change, and then we bring that to our board, which represents the community as well, and we set forward a strategic plan for the next 2 years, 2015 and 16.
So when you talk about what the community wants to get done, does it match up with what people want to contribute money for? Do people who donate money also want to address those same things? Or is there ever a bridge that has to be reached between those two things?
For the most part, there's significant overlap. What we find with the donors to the Kalamazoo Community Foundation is that they care about equity, education, and engagement. There are a few issues that they care deeply about that aren't necessarily at the center of our plan. And so as a community foundation, we have to find ways to help facilitate philanthropy in a general sense. But for the most part, we find that when the voice of the community identifies issues, that typically aligns with what our donors are interested in funding as well.
I'll just add a couple of things that I think we've been around now for, it'll be 90 years this August, and we have a community that I think a lot of us know that we have a really extraordinary social sector. So we have nonprofits that have really developed their capacity, and we as an institution as well have grown in our understanding. But the main way we've been doing this work is one organization at a time. And so we have many donors who have affinity for nonprofit organizations, and we think that's really important. One of the points, one of the steps that we think we're going to have to make, though, is in working more collaboratively with these nonprofits. And so an example of that is what we're doing in our education work with the Learning Network, where we're not working with one organization at a time, but we're bringing all these organizations that are focused on shared goals together to develop a shared vision and work together and actually share data so that they're working together towards a community level outcome. And so that is a shift that I think some donors are absolutely supportive of, and some just need to be brought along because we do know everyone's looking for solutions that we and donors, we all know that there's so much in this community, and we think that we can do better.
Well, let's go through these areas that you're focusing on one at a time and talk a little bit about, why these. Let's begin with the idea of equity.
Mm-hmm. Over the last year, we came up with a working definition. And so I'll read it here. Equity is achieved when the social, legal, economic, and other barriers are overcome and all people are able to take advantage of opportunities to live positive lives. We worked hard at that definition because we needed to, one, ground ourselves in what do we mean by equity? We know it can be a lot of jargon. And there are a lot of institutions across the country and in this local community that are now putting equity in as one of their areas of work. And I think that at the heart of it is that we have a growing divide, that the our institutions in the community, us included, that our work has made a positive impact, but we're seeing that it's no match for the scale of the challenges that we see. And so in some ways we think about that, a lot of us were raised on equality, giving everybody the same, right? And that has achieved a lot in for American society, making sure everybody has equal access, equal opportunity. But I think what we're seeing now is that in so many ways that equal opportunity doesn't necessarily give everybody what they might need to overcome the social, legal, and economic barriers that do exist in society. So we're thinking, so equity is forcing us to go beyond equality, to start thinking about other strategies and really be able to get down to the individual level. What do we know about each individual, the assets they bring, their aspirations, and then what can this community pull together to help this person get to take advantage of all the opportunities that are here. So that's one of our grounding kind of definitions. And then second is just our vision statement. We think is in a way what does equity look like to us? And so it's a community where every person can reach full potential. So for us, that's what we're focused on as people. And when they reach full potential, we know great things happen for our community. And we really think that that's in a way what our institution has been about always, which is about creating a community in which everybody's potential can be fully developed and realized.
The issue of wealth and income inequality has become obviously a big national debate to some extent. Is that part of what you're getting at in terms of equity, is that there is this rather large gap? And we can certainly see it here in Kalamazoo. We have some very wealthy people, and yet we also have persistent poverty.
Yeah. It takes shape in so many ways. We get we're a philanthropic institution. We see so many requests. So we see the divides take shape in so many different areas, whether it's for young people in education, whether it's for healthcare, whether it's for housing, whether it's for and housing for all people of all different ages. That in some ways the existing infrastructure of our community, its value is eroding. And it takes a lot of effort just to keep doing next year what we did last year. And so we're seeing that, we're making incremental progress in so many ways. But we think in many ways that we're, the scale of need could never, that we're not going to meet our ambitions, really, of making sure that making life better for all people, or that all people have these opportunities to have their potential fully developed. So we really think we have to rethink how we do these approaches.
And some of the things that we're learning about our approach is that we cannot all succeed until we all succeed. And that when we design programs and strategies that work best for the people who are most vulnerable or are experiencing the most significant challenges, that actually works better for everybody. So when we can pay attention to and truly understand the disparities that exist, whether it's racial disparities in education or income disparities in housing, if we truly understand how to approach that from the most vulnerable perspective, it works better for our community as a whole.
Can you, expand on that a little bit? How does helping the person who is truly, destitute help the person who lives a fairly comfortable lifestyle, mm-hmm. has a job that is steady, and they make a good wage, they don't worry about the health care benefits and those sort of things? How is that person helped by helping that other person at the bottom of the scale?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at that. One, if you look in the classroom, for example, if you're trying to design educational structure for a student who has entered the classroom 3 grade levels behind. And if you've determined from research and your own best practices that the best strategy for that young person is personalized instruction, the remediation along with the current curriculum and a variety of other strategies, that same strategy is going to work really well for the student sitting next to them, even if they came in at grade level. So to design your approach to help those students who need the most support is not in any way hurting those folks who are coming in at grade level. It helps them too. And then when you think about it from the community perspective, if we have more of our residents contributing to society, paying taxes, earning a wage, taking care of their family, giving back with their volunteer time and their resources, that means that this community has greater quality of life for all. So if you look at it from, you know, the person sitting next to you and how the community benefits as a whole, I think you can see it in both those perspectives.
I'll add that for our institution, we've been thinking about equity and understanding that some of our processes have been accessible to some. And so, for example, our grant application, that we used to have a process that was that people could call in for and for, you know, for people who knew us. We now have a letter of inquiry process that we think is getting to better equality, meaning that it's the same starting point for everybody. And what we're now pressing ourselves into thinking about is, okay, who's able to access us now? But when we apply this idea of equity, it's now saying, well, who's never going to come to our door? And so then we get to our strategic plan element of engagement, meaning that we have to actually go out and engage with people. And when we learn how to become that flexible, we think that we can serve all, right? Then we know that there's some people are going to come in this way, but can we demonstrate, can we be as adaptable as we need to be as an institution to find out, you know, who to solve a problem, who needs to be here, and for us to go and demonstrate all the different types of engagement activities that need to be done to do that.
When you also picked these areas, equity, education, engagement, did you see all three of them as being connected and that addressing one will help in some way addressing the other two?
Yes, we have debates actually internally about which one leads because they all three work so collaboratively together. So when we think about equity, we know that this is a real pressing issue within our community to ensure that those who are most vulnerable, who are experiencing the most significant barriers, really have an opportunity to prosper. And we know that education is the best path for prosperity. When we can educate our community, we have an opportunity to really elevate the quality of life for all. And we can't do either of those things without the engagement of our community and without being engaged in our community. So the three really work in concert together. And so they settled in as our big three goals because that we couldn't do one without the other. And if we can be successful in all three, we think that's going to help us truly achieve that vision of every person reaching their full potential in Kalamazoo County.
I'll just add that it also... being able to see the interconnections is also part of a developing capacity to you know, we've been spending a lot of time in systems thinking. And traditionally, philanthropy and, you know, a lot of different systems in the community are looked at as a machine, right? That you try to, there's a problem, you try to fix it with a very simple solution. And we've been spending more time understanding that all these challenges that we see in the community and the opportunities all have, there's potential, they are connected. And with more relationships, we can see those connections and then and actually bring people together who are natural partners who right now might see themselves as either competitors or just simply in a different, you know, different line of business. But so we're trying to play our role in part, as part of our engagement work to play the role of convener, where we're able to see connections that sometimes people, you know, donors or grantees or other community partners aren't able to see. So that's one of the other assets that we can take greater advantage of.
So what's next? Someone who hears this interview and says, okay, it sounds interesting, sounds like the people at the Kalamazoo Community Foundation have some good ideas. What should they be looking for in terms of seeing that there is progress being made?
I think when you look at equity, education, and engagement, you will see a synchronicity in the work that the Kalamazoo Community Foundation does in 2015 and 16. As we said, they're all connected. So when we approach our work in education, we're going to be bringing questions about equity, disparities, and systemic barriers so that we and our community can understand why we're not getting traction on some of these deeper issues. You'll also see us bring questions about engagement. Where's the community in these conversations? Do we have all the perspectives present at the table as we start to define and solve problems? And I think you'll start to see some more specific work around equity, engaging people in the community to talk about what collaborative work will look like for Kalamazoo if we're truly going to get at this issue of equity.
That's great. what I loved about what Carrie was saying, which I think is different, is we think we need to be prompting questions. that get to more of the structural challenges that we face in this community. But also we think potentially questions are more mobilizing. They bring more diverse people together than saying, here's the solution. And, you know, with that, you know, with more voices, more diversity, we think we're going to get to better ideas and solutions. But we think asking, prompting questions and facilitating those conversations is a really great next step for us.
I think you'll also continue to see specific actions within the learning network. So as we mentioned, our focus on education and the tool of the learning network is really our best demonstration of these new capacities and our attention to this community leadership work. So as the learning network continues to move forward, the Kalamazoo Community Foundation will continue to be central in that leadership work. We're continuing to support the backbone of that collaborative, and we're continuing to push forward on community level outcomes. And so hopefully we'll be able to see more action networks in the community organizing around those specific community level outcomes, like kindergarten readiness, like college and career readiness, like adult learning.
Thank you both for your time. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Carrie Pickett-Irway is the president of the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. Suprateek Stoats-Ghosh is the foundation's vice president for community investment.